In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 26, August 12th, 1929. And Jesus is just so great teaching us about this third fiat, teaching us about the life that Adam had before the fall, teaching us about the new Adam and the new Eve, Jesus and Mary, this abundant life, this time of sanctification that God has planned for the world. And he has asked us to be alive to witness what he's going to do. And this is the thing that is so glorious. Jesus tells Louisa the sure sign that the divine will is going to reign is that I've given you the book of heaven. That's what Jesus says. So, but amid so much glory of ours, Jesus says about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, look, there is a black speck of the human will. So this, I did a drawing, a painting years and years ago, and it was a beautiful painting. And what I put in the painting was a shadow, a small little shallow and a shadow. And this is, what Jesus is saying in all that he has created, the vast universe, all that he has breathed into humanity. There was a black speck, Jesus says, that causes the painting to be not perfect, you know, causes this divine life that God wants us to participate in. There's something that is out of order. So he says, loving man with a greater love, we endowed him with a free will. See, a lot of people say, well, I can't believe in the divine will because we have a free will. That's absolutely true. But Jesus says, I want you to use your free will to choose. Do you want to live in darkness or do you want to live in light? Do you want to live as a sheep or do you want to live as a goat? Do you want to live as a tare or do you want to live as a grain of wheat? So this free will that we have, he will never take away from us. And he's asking us, how do you want to live? Where is your goal? What is it that you want? I have to give this to you. I've created you, for the ultimate, be in God's image and likeness, but your human will decides what you want to do or what you don't want to do. So he says, loving man with greater love, we endowed humanity with a free will, but abusing, he wanted to breathe and palpitate, in the human will. I want to be in charge. I want to do it my way. And this is the reason we go to confession. It's not the Lord's way. And we're all in the same boat. All of us have been redeemed. Jesus has redeemed us. And we pray and we thank God that we've been baptized. What Jesus wants of us is to enter into this abundant life, this Catholic life, this universal life. So we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that ontological change takes place. We're no longer sons and daughters of Adam. We become sons and daughters of God. And this is the beginning, image of God. And now 2,000 years later, after learning how to live this image of God in the Holy Church through our dogma and doctrine, now Jesus is saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. The kingdom is coming. And he says, now I want you to begin to live in the divine will. Not just do the divine will that the saints have taught us, but now live in the divine will. So he's given us the book of heaven. And as we read the book of heaven, this is what's so glorious about the book of heaven. As you read it, each day as you read, each day as you study, each day that you put this into practice, you're chipping away, if you want to say, at that human will that's been in charge of your life since you were born, since you were conceived, basically. And through holy baptism, we're now in God's image. And now God is saying, now I want you to be freed this abundant life of the new Adam and of the new Eve, Jesus and Mary. So he says, but abusing this free will, Adam wanted to breathe and palpitate in his human will. I want to be in charge. And that's where we are today. We have been redeemed, but what does Jesus say is when he rose from the dead? He said to the apostles, whose sins you shall forgive them, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. He knew we would need the sacraments and sacramentals to live this image of God. And that's what we've been doing for 2,000 years. And now what God is showing us is this new and divine way of holiness that is so close. If you're reading the Book of Heaven, you're experiencing it. You're experiencing this joy, this peace, this happiness. You're experiencing a glimpse, if you want to say, of this life of Jesus, this life of Mary. The fullness is not here yet. And because there's some great things that have to happen. And so he says, by living in your human will, as Adam lived in the human will, not in God's most holy divine will, he says, therefore it changes continuously to the extent of blackening, of losing this divine beauty, this divine freshness of this divine life. So what God has given us is it's so good. I mean, why are you so happy after a good confession? Because at that moment, you're full of grace. You have said the truth. This is who I am. This is how I think. This is what I say. This is what I do. And I don't want to, this is what confession is. I don't want to continue to live like this. I want this divine life of Jesus. I want this divine life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So Jesus is saying, Adam was given the free will, and we all have the free will to choose. Now that's what we're doing now. We're choosing what we want. So let's just look at Sunday. Let's just look at the Lord's Day. What are we choosing that the church has said, this is the Lord's Day? Our Lord said, this is his day. How are we living his day Sunday? Like we've mentioned before, all the sports began after Louisa was born. If really, I mean, you had jogging, you had wrestling, running and wrestling, but all the sports now are out there. And because the evil one knew, I've got to convince people to not follow God. And so with our free will, we choose Sundays as another Saturday, another sports day, basically pushing God out and not getting closer to the Lord, abandoning the Lord and embracing other gods. Now, that might sound strange at first, but I mean, I was talking to someone the other day and they said, well, what you're saying, I don't do. They said, you know, I just like one sport and it's, I don't follow all the sports. But what are you doing on Sunday? Is it really the Lord's day, or is it your another day of being entertained? Just think about this, just the one thing. How are we keeping holy the Sabbath? Remember the blue Sundays? Nothing was open, really. The pharmacy might have been open for the first, you know, until noon in case anybody needed something, an emergency, but all the stores were closed. Why? At that time, which was only a short while ago, we kept holy the Sabbath. What would we do? We would have, I mean, in my family, we had Holy Mass. Then we went to my father's mother's house, my grandmother's house, and she would have this beautiful meal. And all there was, again, my father was the 12th child of 14, and the family would be there. The whole family would be there. It was like a celebration every Sunday. And then after that, we'd come home, you know, and we would get ready to go to my mother's house, my mother's 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 house. And we'd have dinner there. The whole day was a family day. The whole day was the Lord's day, and family was together. Now, remember what Archbishop Pietrarius asked us. He says, I want you to be part of the little family of Louisa. See, this is so essential that we begin to understand what the Lord is bringing us to is this new and abundant life that Louisa, little mama Louisa, has. And as we would go to our grandparents every Sunday, and then, you know, it was funny. After the 60s, it was basically nobody went anymore. The family broke apart. Everybody was doing their own thing. It was like a loss, as what happened even in the church. I remember the sisters would always be sitting in the front row, who taught in the school. The 12 sisters would be sitting in the front row at the early mass on Sunday, and they'd be there 15 minutes before, and they'd be there until 15 minutes after the mass. They were the only ones that were really praying. Everybody was running in and running out. There was a few that would stay. But then the sisters disappeared, and then the school disappeared, and we lost that Catholic life somehow. Jesus wants us to re-embrace this Catholic life. He wants us to begin to live this universal life. So he says he wants us to go back to the beauty and the freshness of that universal life that Adam had. And he says, because Adam was doing his human will, not God's divine will, it reached the point of he lost divine life in its human nature. This is where Adam has been. And now God is asking us, are you ready to begin to live this abundant life again? Are you ready to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, where the family is the most important thing? And what family is it? It's the little family of Louisa. And as, can you imagine what the houses would be like, the homes would be like on Sunday, when everybody would go around the room and say, what did you learn this week from Jesus speaking to Louisa, from Our Lady speaking to Louisa? You should hear what would be said. For those who are really reading, it's, I found this and I found this and I found this. It's really a new beginning of this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. He's teaching us day by day. And I think, I know Jesus said the kingdom is so close. He said 2000 years ago, he said it is at hand. Now he says it's here because of Louisa. And we can begin to live this life little by little. Now, when that door is opened, when the door of the kingdom is opened, and who has the keys to the kingdom? When that door is opened, Jesus said to Louisa, you must be the key. When that door is open, the light of the divine will, this divine light of God, this divine life of God, this divine love of God is going to shine all over the earth. The earth will never be the same anymore. That's what we're getting ready for. Right now, it's like, because the door isn't opened, that great event hasn't occurred. We have to go through the warning, the miracle, the 3 days of darkness. We got to go through all of that. How, what way, what's the routine? I have no idea. I just know it's coming. And God is trying to get us ready for when this door is open, we will be ready to enter into that light, this life, this love of God. He's getting us ready. And so how is he getting us ready? By teaching us that what Adam lost and Eve lost, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, have given back to the world. And this new and divine way of holiness that God is giving to the world through little Louisa is astonishing. I mean, just this past week, what did the exorcist in Italy say? He said, one of the exorcists said, the most powerful exorcism is through Louisa. Here's an exorcist who, remember Father Bucci would say this to us. He says, what's coming is going to be really, really rough. He says, if you don't have an image of Louisa, a picture of Louisa, a statue of Louisa, he says, it's going to be tough because the demons think that they can overrun you. No problem at all. God said to Luisa, I have to release all the demons. And Luisa says, you don't have to do this. You're the son of God. And he said, you don't understand. Humanity wants the release of the demons. So I have to give that to them. And this is what we see. The fastest growing religion is Satanism. So what do we do? How do we get through this? And God says, I will give you the book of heaven. I'll show you the way and the how the kingdom is going to be on earth as it is in heaven. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, this divine life is beginning in us again, just little by little. That light that we see, that light that we experience is like the crack under the door of the kingdom, this reflection of the light coming to us. What's coming is so astonishing. What's coming is so amazing. Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. So God is trying to tell us through Luisa, and as you're reading Luisa, you're beginning to understand this is no time for worry, no time for complaining, no time for negativity, no time for sadness, no time for fear. It's a time to enter into this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, to really enter into this Catholic life, this universal life of the new Adam and the new Eve. So he's teaching us. Adam did his human will, and until we basically are free of our human will, and what is our human will? It's all the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin of being fighting this divine will of God. That's what Adam did, and that's part of our nature right now. We have been redeemed, but Jesus says now is the time to be sanctified. That sanctification is to become one with the new Adam and the new Eve, to begin to live this abundant life that Jesus says, I'm going to go away to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back to take you with me so that we will never be separated again. That's what's coming. That's the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So Vine 26, September 20th, 1929. On the other hand, the soul who does not live in my divine will, since her being is not under this great empire of the creative power of God, cannot possess all the fullness of a divine life. That's what God wants for us. Image and likeness, this fullness of a divine life of Jesus and Mary. As much as you want, Jesus says, I'm going to give you 30, 60, or 100 fold. What do you want? So when we respond back to the Lord, he says, you want this? Okay. How are you entering into this life? How much are you reading? How much are you studying? How much are you putting into practice? So for us, people have said to me, well, what about blind people? They can't read. They mean that they can't have the divine will. No, there's plenty of ways. My eyes get tired when I read, and it's great to hit the button that says, DreamWorks. I think it's DreamWorks. I forgot the name of it. But you hit, and it reads to you. And you can get all different voices, men's voice or a woman's voice, to listen to this diary. And just by, remember, your faith comes by hearing. By listening to this, it's a new beginning that's happening for each and every one of us. He says, if you're not living in my divine will, you're not under this great empire of the creative divine power of God. And therefore, you cannot possess this fullness of a divine life, nor will the soul feel herself all filled to the brim of her soul with divine light, divine sanctity, divine love. See, Jesus says the divine will is an infinite ocean of love, of light, of life. And he says, dive into this infinite ocean and drown. I never want you to leave, Jesus says. This is why I created you to enter into eternity and be part of the enjoying the beatific vision. How to become part of the beatific vision by looking at God, seeing God, hearing God, smelling God, tasting God. He says, I made you senses for God. We are to participate in this life of Jesus and Mary. Again, we have movie stars, we have famous people. Now we have action figures, fake, you know, supermen, fake. Our superman is Jesus Christ. Our mother and queen is Our Lady. And see, this is the memory that we have to get back, not this false memory of what the world, the flesh, and the devil want us to know, but what Jesus, who Jesus is, who Our Lady is. And we get this when we pray the Holy Rosary. We get this at every time we go through a mystery, we get deeper into this awareness of the love of God through Jesus, the new Adam, through Mary, the new Eve. And what's so great about this memory that we have is most of our memories is they said this and they did that and they doesn't matter. What matters is how much do you know Jesus? How much do you know our Blessed Mother? So what Jesus said to Louisa, the gift that I give to my children in the divine will is the gift of bilocation, not the bilocation of the saints. It's Jesus takes us where he wants to bring us. Like he did with Louisa every night. They toured the universe. And that's why Louisa's socks, I think that's so hilarious. Her socks were dirty and had holes in them because of the traveling that Jesus and Louisa did throughout the whole universe. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa through the whole universe. He showed her why he created the universe for man. We haven't seen anything yet. You know, here we're cheering of a spacecraft landing on the moon. Big deal. Yay! It's Jesus wants to show us why he, the Lord God Almighty, why he wants us to enter into this universal life, this Catholic life. And it has nothing to do with our human understanding. Remember what scripture says, the wisdom of man is mere foolishness to God. What God has planned for us, it goes way, 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 way beyond what we could ever imagine. And he, that's why he says about Louisa, you're my little newborn. You're in the arms of our Heavenly Father. You're in the arms of our God, our King, where he holds you, where, a little newborn can't walk. A little newborn can't feed itself. Our little newborn can't protect itself. Sorry. But God, Jesus is going to do that in the arms of Jesus, in the arms of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. As we enter into this memory of Jesus, we begin to see them in a way that we've never seen them before, because we actually are allowed to go with the Lord. And the more that we do this, the more attuned we are to that reality. It's not fictitious. It's real. You really begin to experience our Lord and Our Lady's love for us, their desire that we participate one with them. This new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied about is so close. It's here because of Louisa. So Jesus says, basically, the soul who does not live in my divine will, since her being is not under this divine empire of the creative divine power of God, cannot possess all the fullness of divine life, nor will she feel all herself filled to the brim of her soul with divine light, divine sanctity, divine love, to the point of overflowing outside, forming these oceans around her, to the extent of feeling that everything is hers. See, when Louisa says that, she says, the divine will is mine. This is what God created for me, to live in his divine will, one with a new Adam, one with a new Eve, Jesus and Mary. It's mine. So when you learn how to pray the rounds, the round of creation is you begin to hear, smell, taste, touch, and experience the I love yous of every leaf on a tree, of every blade of grass. It's God breathing in this love, God, this universe that's all around us, where we recognize the I love you of God. We breathe it in. And then with Jesus and Mary reigning in us, because that's the first thing you do in the divine will. I want Jesus and Mary to be my center, my heart. And then little by little, every act that you do, every round that you do is another cell, if you want to say, added to that conception of Jesus in your heart until the day when Jesus can gaze in your gazing, fully hear in your hearing, fully speak in your speaking, fully as Lord, as God, as Master, as King, image and likeness. This is the most glorious time in the history of the world. It's the most glorious time. And if you have Louisa, Father Bucci said, get a picture of her, put it on the window of your house. I have a picture of Louisa, northeast, south, and west. Why? He says, when the evil one sees Louisa, because she's the newborn, she's the firstborn of the divine will. She's the one who basically born of original sin, who basically takes the place of the fallen Adam. That's the new Adam, Jesus, the new Eve, Mary, reigning in Louisa. She's the first one, the newborn of the divine will. When the evil one sees her, he flees. He stopped that prayer that Adam was praying in paradise. Jesus and Mary brought that prayer back to earth, that chorus of I love yous to the Father. And then when they left, it became silent again. He was happy. The devil was happy. But then with Louisa, little by little, she participated in this divine I love you to God with the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now because of what she has written down on paper, what Jesus dictated to her, we're reading it and we're learning how to adore the Father and praise the Father and love the Father and glorify the Father that he so rightly deserves as God. And this I love you that's going through all of humanity, and it's growing at each day, more and more of this divine I love you is so beautiful. The harmony is so amazing of praising God, of loving God, of glorifying God with the life of Jesus and Mary through Louisa, that we're driving him out. He's so enraged because he's total failure. God wins. God wins. And he is so enraged and that's why everything's falling apart, or seems to be falling apart in the world. His kingdom is coming to an end. It's the tears of Our Lady that are banishing the kingdom of the evil one. It's the life of Jesus and Mary that banishes this. As the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, again, he can't stay here. Heaven is coming to earth. He's been banished from heaven. He will be banished from earth. And he knows it. So he's trying his darndest to kill all of us, destroy all of us, because he does not want God to have anything. He doesn't want God to have his little children around his throne. He's trying, but he's going to lose. And how is he going to lose? Jesus shows us very clearly. The time that we're in is unique in all the history of the world, where all the demons are released. What does that mean? They have freedom to come against us, come against our fallen nature, come against our free will and overwhelm us. And that's what he thinks he's going to do. But God is going to win. Jesus says to Louisa, you are part of my divine army. He says, and this war that we're in is not a war of blood. It's a war of love, and God is going to win. See, this is, again, the most glorious time to be alive. This is the greatest time to be alive. And it's not a time for worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. That's past. What Jesus is teaching us is to live that freedom, that fullness of divine life, filled to the brim of divine light, divine sanctity, divine love, overflowing outside, forming these oceans around each and every one of us to the extent of feeling that everything is ours. How can that be? The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is beginning to manifest itself. So what does that mean? That means everything that God has planned from the beginning, if we want it, is ours. This divine life, this divine love, this divine light of God is ours if we want it. So what is God asking of us? He says, how much do you want this? I'm going to give you the book of heaven, Jesus says. If you have the book of heaven, Jesus says, I gave that to you. If you have the book of heaven, Jesus says, I planned from the beginning of time that you would receive this. People have said to me, I can't believe I'm alive today to be reading the book of heaven. And I said, God planned this. He planned for you to be alive. This isn't by chance. He predestined you to be alive at this time. He says to Louisa, I'm depending on you to begin to live this abundant life where the evil one will have no more control. His kingdom is coming to an end, a screeching halt. So every time you read in the book of heaven, every word that you read, Jesus says, is a divine life that comes from the mouth of Jesus. And what Our Lady says to Louisa, when we read that in May, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, it's a new beginning. When we read the 24 hours of the Passion, it's a new beginning for us every single day. As we read this word of that the word of God spoke, it's changing the face of the earth. It's changing your family. It's changing your nation. It's changing even the frequency that we're in. That negative frequency that we've been in for 6,000 years is coming. It's now changing to a higher frequency. We have to understand we've been called by God to live at this time, to embrace this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. Why? To help this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's Louisa's job. And we're working with Louisa by being filled with peace, joy, and happiness. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts. Jesus, I trust in you. He says, the final gift that I give to my church, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. This is what he said to St. Faustina. So what does John Paul II do? He gives us divine mercy on the year 2000, the beginning of the third millennium, the beginning of the 7,000th year. It's a new beginning. You have to understand, none of this is by chance. God has loved us so much that he has allowed us to live at this time. Well, again, you know, if the saints could be envious, they'd be envious of us. Because the saints, when you look at the lives of the saints, most of them or a lot of them wanted to live at this time. Why did they want to be alive at this time? They knew God was going to do something magnificent. St. Teresa would say that, oh, how I wish I could live in the last days. It's not the end of the world. It's the last days of the evil one. You have to understand, there's nothing to be worried about. Yes, we're going to be tested. God's going to say, how are you going to deal with this situation? How are we going to deal with that situation? I know some people, they're suffering and they're angry. They haven't suffered all their life and now they're suffering and they're angry. With us, suffering is the life of Jesus. Suffering is the life of Mary. And that's why they gave Louisa, not us, to be crucified in her bed every single day for 70 years. What God gave to Louisa, we couldn't do. So Jesus says to us, you got to know this newborn. That's why we went through all the titles. We're still continuing these 40 days of praying the titles of Louisa. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that Jesus himself would say these magnificent things about? Who is this Louisa Picaretta that the exorcist in Italy would say the greatest exorcism that's coming is through this little newborn? You have to understand, Good things are here because of Louisa. Good things are here because of what Jesus and Mary have done with this little newborn. How do we know? She possesses the fullness of this divine life. She is the newborn, the firstborn. Her soul is brimming over with divine light, divine sanctity, divine light, forming these oceans around her of peace, joy, and happiness. And God is offering that to us. So in volume 27, November 26, 1929, Jesus says, in fact, you must know this. Now, if you haven't read the You Must Know book, what I have is books, okay, all around. And Jesus will say, open this book. I mean, I don't hear him. It's just, you look at it, Jesus wants me to read something. As soon as I see the book, so we as you begin to read, he's going to teach you something. Like the You Must Know book, the Be Attentive book, the Cross is Sacrament book. They're all free at divineworld.org. It's themes that Jesus have taught us over the years. And as we begin to read these themes, we begin to understand this is not a devotional life. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, that they put down on paper so that we can read it and become part of this. Little by little, the fullness isn't here yet. Little by little, when that fullness comes, the evil one is going to be gone. And life, what does scripture say? When that happens, no more tears, no more sadness, no more sorrow, no more sin, no more death. Death is leaving. That's the 3 days of darkness. The 3 days of darkness is God says to death, take what's yours and get out. My kingdom's coming. This is a glorious time to be alive. It's not doom and gloom. It's a glorious time to be alive. So he says, you must know that each step you take in my divine will, each word that you read in my divine will is a divine life that you enclose within yourself. So one step less, Jesus says, is one divine life that is not yet formed in you. Do you see what he's doing? That word of God, Jesus Christ, is giving us these words in the book of heaven. And he says, each word that you read is a step that you take in my divine will. It's a divine life that you enclose within yourself, in your heart of hearts, where Jesus and Mary reign. That you take a step in my divine will. It's a divine life. So one step less, Jesus says, is one divine life that is not yet formed. He says, my children in the divine will are going to become my divine masterpieces for God. This is what he's planned for all his children. And then he says, when you read one less word, one less step, you deprive our divine supreme being of the glory, of the love, of the happiness, of the satisfaction of that same life of ours that can give back to us. You see, it's Jesus in us. It's Mary in us. What he says, when that divine life, that one aspect that you didn't read, that you didn't study, that you didn't put into practice, that's why I'm saying, what are we doing on Sunday, the holy day? You know, what would be magnificent is if each family dove into this infinite ocean of divine love after keeping holy the Sabbath, being in the state of grace, coming back home, and then entering into this divine life to give back to God, the supreme being of God, all the glory, all the love, all the happiness, all the satisfaction of the same love of Jesus and Mary. See, that divine act, I can't do, but Jesus and Mary and me can do. And they let us participate in that divine life. So when I hear people say, oh, I'm doing my divine acts, I go, what divine acts can you do? This is why some bishops, some priests go, I don't want anything to do with the divine will. They think they're doing divine acts. I know Jesus and Mary are doing divine acts in me. I know that. I can't do that, but I want them, the new Adam and the new Eve, to reign in me so that I can give back to our Heavenly Father all the glory, all the love, all the happiness that Jesus and Mary give to the Father. The new Adam and the new Eve, that life that they breathe into Louisa. And he says, If you only knew what it means to give the triune God all the glory, all the love, all the happiness of our very divine life, you would do this continuously. Sunday isn't going to be a sports day anymore. It's going to be the Lord's day, where we get closer to the Lord. We let the Lord reign in us. He breathes in our breathing. He beats in our heart beating. He gives back to the Father the divine, I love you, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. All glory, all honor, all praise. That's why we were created. We were created to enjoy the light in the beatific vision. Adoring God and loving God. That's heaven on earth. God is so beautiful. He's so holy. He's so perfect. So he says, with our divine strength of our own will, as the fortunate soul has the great good of living in the divine will, we, triune God, feel ourselves be enraptured. And her enrapturing strength is such and so great that we, triune God, bilocate our divine being and enclose the divine being, the bilocating the divine will, in the step, in the thought, in the word, in the deed, in the act, in the love of the creature, to have our highest contentment of receiving through this little soul our divine life, our glory, and all our goods. That's why he created us, to be in his image and likeness. So he says, you must know, now this is important, that this is the great difference between the soul who lives in our divine will and the soul who is resigned in the divine will. A lot of people going, you have to go through something. Oh, I'll put up with it. You're resigned to it. To live in the divine will is to participate in the life of Jesus and Mary. It's that you're not being resigned. So the saints were resigned to doing the will of God. Jesus is teaching us how to live in the divine will. So he says that there's a great difference between one who does the divine will, the saints, and the one who lives in the divine will. The first one living in the divine life, she offers back to us, triune God, by means of her acts, her every thought, every word, every deed. The other one operating and closes the effects of our divine will. That's being resigned. We do not feel ourselves within that soul, our very enrapturing strength that enraptures the triune God in that soul's acts, because they're resigned to it. Okay, I'll do it. But only the effects, not the whole of our divine love, but a little particle of the love. That's where the saints were. And that's why every day we repair the lives of the saints. We redo the lives of the saints. It's giving them a double happiness, a double glory in heaven. He says, I want the source of our happiness. I don't want just the mere shadow of my happiness, Jesus says, that the saints have done. I want you now to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And from life to effects, there is such difference. It's just between life and works. Who can say that a work has all the value that a life of a soul can possess? The work of a soul, I mean, they build a bridge, nice little bridge. But the life of the soul being the bridge back to God is divine. It's bringing everything back to God, the way God originally planned. He breathed into the dust so that what come out of the dust is the image and likeness of God. So he says, much less can the divine life formed by the creature in my divine will be compared to the works done outside of the divine will. Just think of this. All the beautiful palaces throughout the world are nothing compared to the new Jerusalem that's coming. He says, Jesus says, I am building this palace for you. I am building this place where you're going to live forever. What's the difference between a human building and a divine building? A divine building is living. A divine building is filled with love and light and life. It's nothing in paradise was dead. Everything in paradise was living. Nothing was inanimate in paradise. Everything was alive. The animals are still alive in paradise. They're still there. Jesus is saying, wait till you see what I've got planned for you. You think this world's good? Wait till you see the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. This is the most glorious thing to possess right now. This new and divine way of holiness that God is offering to us is ours. It's ours. It's ours. It belongs to us. He created us for his glory, his honor, that we can participate in this divine love, divine light, divine life. A glorious time to be alive. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.